Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and yes, even foes in the family, I am thankful for my thorns in the flesh. And to the standing between the living and the dead, memorial and devotional service, family members. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House, with the White House daily reading of the chronological Bible, episode number 197, where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order. This unique viewpoint, this unique Bible arrangement, it is still the Bible, it is still the Word of God, so don't worry about the order, allows us to read the whole Bible as a single story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today we're reading Numbers chapter 35. By the way, a prominent Christian person said yesterday, and I'm glad he said it for his own good and for the good of others, that he has stopped saying or referring to certain parts of the Bible as boring. Good for him. And if you have come to that conclusion, good for you. There's no part of the Bible that's boring. If you are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, God will speak to your heart from every portion of the Word of God. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, indeed. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your love, your mercy and your grace, but I also thank you for your judgment, for your chastisement, for your rebuke, for your loving us so well that you will not allow us to stay the way we are as your people, and you never have. You're not doing it now, and you never will let people get away with disobeying your word. And so, Lord, thank you for your faithfulness in this world before in this world that is sadly so wicked, evil, and ungodly. Thank you for your mercy, love, and grace, and we praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would crush and crucify our flesh within us. Everything that is not like you, tear it down. Break us, make us, and mold us to be what you would have us to be, and help us to be sensitive to your holy word. Fill us with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty of your Holy Spirit, and grant us your energy and your strength to read your holy word. Grant us your unction and your anointing to understand it and to share it with others. And to preach and to proclaim your holy gospel. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, as I always say, and when I say it, I really mean it. Otherwise, I would have never started saying it. I would have never started saying it, rather. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, it is a high honor and a distinct privilege and a great pleasure to read in your hearing, thus saith the Lord, the Word of God, the Holy Bible. At Numbers chapter 35. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in, and ye shall give also unto the Levite suburbs for the cities round about them. And the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle and for their goods and for all their beasts. And the suburbs of the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites shall reach from the wall of the city and outward 1,000 cubits round about. And ye shall measure from without the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits, and the city shall be in the midst. This shall be to them the suburbs of the cities. And among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be 6 cities for refuge, which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither, and to them ye shall add 42 cities. So all the cities which ye shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities, them shall ye give with their suburbs. And the cities which ye shall give shall be of the possession of the children of Israel. From them that have many, ye shall give many. But from them that have few, ye shall give few. Everyone shall give of his cities unto the Levites, according to his inheritance which he inheriteth. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither. which killeth any person at unawares. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge, both for the children of Israel, and for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron, so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with throwing a stone, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with an hand weapon of wood, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred, or hurl at him by laying of weight, that he die, or in enmity smite him with his hand, that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood, according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. So these things shall be for a statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Verse 31. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. And ye shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land until the death of the priest. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit, wherein I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, thank you for the grace, the energy, the strength, the power of your Holy Spirit, your unction and anointing of your Holy Spirit to read your Holy Word, to understand it, and with your help, remember it, hide it in our hearts, and help us to apply these truths and these principles to our lives, and help us to obey your Holy Word, and help us to teach it to others in a discipleship way, and help us to preach and proclaim your Holy Gospel. In fact, Lord, as I proclaim the Gospel now, help those who are under the sound of my voice to listen to the Gospel and come to know you as Savior by believing in you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you suffered, you bled, and you died on the cross for our sins. And you rose on the third day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and yes, even foes in the family, I am very thankful for my thorns in the flesh. And to all of our brothers and sisters, our standing between the living and the dead service family members, welcome. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, episode 853, where I simply read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source, such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary, and or the Matthew Henry Commentary, or some other reputable commentary or Bible or study Bible. This podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book and the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. The aim of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God and the giving of the sense of it, it is my humble prayer that the church would be revived and the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come, and saved from the eternal burning hell by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ based upon what Jesus Christ said so powerfully when he was here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, believe the Word of God, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved from wrath and from hell. Today, beloved, we're reading Zechariah chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your Holy Word today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill us and grant us anointing and unction and help us to read your holy word and to understand it, to obey it and to apply it to our lives. For your glory, praise, and honor. For the salvation of the lost. For the revival of the saved. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray and forsake. Amen. Zechariah chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions, every man to his brother. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I just read in your hearing Zechariah chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. Now here is the sense of it. Here is the understanding of it with the help of the Holy Ghost. First, from the Matthew Henry commentary. God's judgments upon Israel of old for their sins were written to warn Christians as well. The duties required are not keeping fasts and offering sacrifices, but doing justly and loving mercy, which tend to the public welfare and peace. The law of God lays restraint upon the heart, but they filled their minds with prejudices against the word of God. Nothing is harder than the heart of a presumptuous sinner. See the fatal consequences of this to their fathers. Great sins against the Lord of hosts bring great wrath from his power, which cannot be resisted. Sin, if regarded in the heart, will certainly spoil the success of prayer. The Lord always hears the cry of the brokenhearted, penitent. Yet all who die impenitent and unbelieving will find no remedy or refuge from miseries which, while here, they despised and defied, but which they then will not be able to bear. Let's pray. Holy Father God, thank you for your holy word, because somehow, I don't know how you do this, but wherever we are in your holy word, and Lord, you have taught me this so many years ago. You showed me this, that a preacher like the monotone Dr. John McNeil Jr., even though you may not be there for every service, when he took a book that he was going to preach on for months on end, it didn't matter what when you were able to make it, it'll be right on time. I find this amazing about your holy word. And this passage that we read this morning, Lord, is so timely, so powerful, in the Old Testament, but is right where we live today. So thank you for this gift. Help us to take heed to your holy word and obey it and live by it in a very real sense. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray and forsake. Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, in keeping with the standing between the living and the dead service, we continue to read the family verses, because the so-called Christian family, church family, is in a mess. And so today God is speaking to the husbands. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 32. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. This should be rock solid. This is not based upon the kind of person she is. This is based upon God's agape, unconditional love. It's the God kind of love. Now, I know there are many women out there who are not interested in the God kind of love, but it is the love that keeps a marriage and family together. And by the way, there are many benefits in a marriage and family staying together. There are many benefits. And it is a great testimony. And an older man and his older wife, who have been together for 30 or more years, when they show up anywhere, is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. It adds authority to whatever your message is, especially if you claim to be a Christian. Because even though it may have been rough for a while, you showed, by the grace of God, character, and you stayed together. And that says a lot. It says a lot to your children. It says a lot to other people. And for this to happen, you've got to have the agape, unconditional love. And the agape, unconditional, God kind of love has nothing to do with this saccharine, syrupy, sweet, fake, phony, manipulative love that's in the church today. Where you can't say anything about anything, you can't rebuke anybody, you can't chastise anybody, you can't get on somebody's case. That's not love. I don't know where y'all got that love from. No doubt you got it from the devil in hell. That's not love. If you truly love somebody with the God kind of love, so that you can have a long-term peace, though the offending party must be rebuked, and you must let them know up front and tell them up front what the deal is. That's love too, husbands. And by the way, husbands, you're in authority. Let me say that a few more times, because some of you don't understand this, you don't know this, you don't have it in you. Nobody's ever told you it, and certainly your wife has never told you that you're in authority. I don't care whether you like it or not. Husbands, you are in authority. Just like the police officer can pull you over, no matter how bad you think you are, the police officer at that moment is in authority over you. And it would behoove you to do what the authority tells you to do. If he tells you to get out the car, get out the car. If he tells you to give him your license, give him your license and insurance. Entitled, and whatever else he asks for, give it to him. Sitting there fussing and talking about you black and you with Black Lives Matter and all that foolishness does not mean a doggone thing. He is in authority. See. And let me just say this, and I wish I didn't have to say it. White men understand this better than some black men, many black men. I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's because of slavery. I don't know what is going on. I don't know if it's because the government beat black men down and raised the women up. And it may be a combination of a whole bunch of things. I don't know. But let me just tell you, black men, you husbands and your fathers, you are the head of that household, whether you want to be or not. and abdicating your authority and your throne and giving it over to your wife and to your daughters and the children and everybody else is very dumb. Don't do that, because God's going to hold you accountable anyway. And if it turns out to be a mess, he's going to hold you accountable for the mess. Adam, where art thou? That's love too. What I'm saying to you is love too, gentlemen. Well, I just feel like I want to share the authority with my wife. No, there's no such thing. See, you got that from the sweet little evangelical church with their mess and their books and their stupid seminars and excursions the touring, on their boat rides. And ships and all of that. Yeah, I forget what you call those. Cruise ships. And all of that stuff. That's where you get all that from, all that compromising mess from. You're the head of the household. Yes, you ought to be loving. You ought to have God's love in your heart. And there's a natural love that a husband has for his wife and for his children, normal people. I'm talking to normal people. People who are claimed to be Christians now, who are saved. Normal people. The men I know, listen to me. If I have a natural love in my heart for my wife and I want her to do well, I want her to have the best, and I want her to look the best, and if I want for her what I want for myself, and I always think about my children when I'm out. Ever since I've been a family man, I have always, when I go out and about and I stop by stores or whatever, I'm always thinking about my children. That's a natural love. That's a God-given thing that he gives to husbands and fathers. And if you don't have that natural love, that natural affection as God talks about in the Bible, I don't know. I don't know what's up with you. You understand? There's a whole lot of talk about people who have mental issues. Let me just tell you this. First of all, excuse me, I believe many people today are just demon-possessed. Do you hear me? I believe that with all my heart, with all of my heart. In a biblical sense, there's no excuse for what people are doing today other than demon possession. We need to go back to the Bible. It's not mental illness. The people are demon sick. They're controlled by devils and demons. And they're anti-God and they're anti-Christ. John told you that there are many antichrists in the world. Okay, this is not a secret. On top of that, pardon me. If you want to go down that route of mental illness, everybody has some kind of mental issues because of our wicked, evil, sinful flesh and nature. All kinds of ungodliness bubbles up from the hell of our sinful nature. All kinds of perversities and mental issues and things and tics and phobias. All kinds of mess comes up from our sinful nature. Don't be shocked. Don't buy into all this mental illness stuff. That's just a nice way of saying you're demon-possessed and you're full of hell and the devil and yourself. Amen, somebody. Amen to myself. That's what I know I'm right. I know it. I feel it deep down on the inside. I know I just said something. So if you don't have natural affection for your wife, you hate your wife, you don't have natural affection for your children, you hate your children, then you need to just go somewhere. You don't need to be in the family. Okay? Because you can't pump that up. You can't fake that. And by the way, wives and children, they know whether or not you truly love them. They know deep down in their heart. Even if you have to rebuke them, even if you have to chastise them, even if you have to punish them and take away their computer and take away their devices. And trust me when I tell you, taking away their computers as teenagers and young people and their devices is a worse punishment than giving them a whipping. Anyway, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, if it was easy, God would not command it. So I'm not saying it's easy. Pardon me. But one thing is for sure, God wants you to do it. That's why he told you to do it. In case you're wondering, in case you're not clear on this. Now, naturally, you know you ought to love your wife. But God is telling you, I want you to love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church. How did he do that? With unconditional love to this day. Does he put up with our mess? No. Does he rebuke us? Yes, he told us so. Does he chastise us? Yes, he told us so. It's in the Bible. Read your Bible. And gave himself for it. He loved us that much. Now, this does not mean you need to go out and sacrifice your life for your wife and children. Don't be going around talking about, I will die for you, honey. Because she may call you on that and say, well, go ahead on. So don't. You're not Jesus, son. Okay? So forget all of that talk. That's another sweet little evangelical lie. We're not dying for anybody, okay? First of all, they're not worth dying for as far as our life is concerned, and we're not worth dying for them. The only somebody worth dying for us is Jesus Christ. So don't get caught up in that now. Yes, I want to be willing to die for my wife. What you need to do is stop your wife from going down to that school raising hell with those teachers and the school board and pulling people's hair out and all that. That's where you come in. You stop her from doing that foolishness. Talking about your child's an angel, you know, all that kind of foolishness. No. Your child is not an angel. Your child is probably a devil like the rest of the children in there. I know you don't like it, but it's true. And especially if you're in the church, it's sad to say. Pardon me. And especially, double especially, if you are a pastor's child, you're the biggest devil. Don't tell me, because I know I was a pastor's child. And I was the biggest devil in the school. So, don't get it twisted. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or such thing, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Husband, your goal is to help your wife to be holy, godly in her heart, her spirit, in her behavior. And what you need to do to help her towards that is pray with her every day and read the Bible with her every day. If you don't do that, you do not love her. I'm talking to pastors too, because some of you pastors don't pray at all, and you don't read the Bible at all. You don't even read the Bible for yourself. The only time you read the Bible is to get a sermon real quick. And you don't pray with your wife, you don't pray with your children, and that is a crime. It is a spiritual crime. You ought to be put in jail. If you leave the house without praying with your wife and children, I don't care how cantankerous she is, you do your part. It's not contingent about what she does. You just do your part. It didn't matter to me how cantankerous and evil my wife was and what kind of nasty, demonic attitude she had. I prayed with her every day. Read the Bible every day. And prayer has a way, if you pray with people, prayer has a way to cast that devil out. Or at least restrain that devil. Can somebody say amen? Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now, here's how you know if you have some natural affection. Do you have the thought that if you're doing something for yourself that benefits you, that would also benefit her? Do you ever have that kind of thought? Do you ever have that kind of mindset? See, that's a God kind of thing, see. That God has put that in your heart to be that way. And there should be some natural affection in that regard as well. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. And this is this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, in keeping with the spirit of the standing between the living and the dead service, let's pray for others together. And by the way, this will be the hardest thing that you will do in life, and that is pray for others. I'm not talking about the old mothers of the church. It's easier for them now. But for most of us, this will be the hardest thing you do. And that is to pray for others. So let's do it anyway. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for all people who name the name of Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would help us all to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent. And Holy Father God, get back to you, our first love. We pray, Lord, for President Biden and all other government leaders in this country, around the globe, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Prime Ministers, Presidents, Potentates, Premiers. We pray, Holy Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for their salvation. Have your Holy Spirit to convict them of their sins and help them to repent of their sins and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and lead, guide, and direct their respective countries, states, cities in such a way that we will live a peaceful and quiet life. Let your will be done, Lord. I'm just praying to fulfill all righteousness. Let your will be done. And Lord, we pray for some prayer requests that have come in. We pray for the thousands of people who have sent in prayer requests. Hear and answer their prayers. Hear and answer our prayers for them. And Lord, continue to meet the needs of the people. We pray now for a few by name. We pray for Vicky. Bestow wisdom, strength, understanding, and obedience upon all government and ministry leaders. Bless and protect Pastor Evans, his family, church, and medical team. Heal Ambar completely and give her relief. Please open ears and hearts to the truth of the gospel in this time and for this time of desperation to lead people to Jesus Christ. Open hearts to give to Joshua's ministry. Protect Joshua, his family, all the people who critical support services is reaching, and all first responders. Protect all people from coronavirus who have not been affected, and give quick and strong recovery to those who have been diagnosed. And Holy Father God, we pray for Janet. Remove a bad man from her daughter's life. And we pray for Paul. Please provide for him, his family, and his ministry. Protect them from the coronavirus and bless them with the supplies they need to help the people around them. Provide all people in Bangladesh with the necessities they need and stop the coronavirus from spreading in Bangladesh and other places. Let your will be done. Holy Father God, we pray now for the people who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ through the preaching of the gospel, through this ministry. And we pray not only for these few by name, but for the thousands of others who have done the same thing by your power, by your gospel, and by your might. We pray for Christopher, Myrrh, Jules, Monica, and Minaj. And Lord, we pray for the people who have recommitted their lives to Christ as well, as this is something, an invitation that we don't give, but we pray not only for these few by name, but the thousands of others who have heard the word preached through this ministry and have recommitted their lives to you through the preaching of your word. We pray for Nellie, Maria, Juan, Lakeisha, and Brenda. And Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of the lost in this country and in the world. We pray for the revival of the saved in this country and in the world. We pray for the healing of the sick in this country and in the world. And we pray for the comfort of the grieving and mourning in this country and in the world. Draw the people to yourself for salvation and comfort as only you can. And we pray for some by name as we pray for millions who are in this situation today. We pray for the family and friends of Minnesota Air Marshal Kenneth Meisel. We pray for the family and friends of Maine resident Arthur Mitchell. We pray for the family and friends of Wisconsin firefighter Joshua D. Fetty. We pray for the family and friends of Bahrain activist Hussein Barakat. We pray for the family and friends of Pennsylvania prison guard Kyle Dixon. Now, Lord, I pray as people listen to the gospel and hear the gospel, help them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can be saved from the power of sin, the pain of sin, and the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you are with us today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world," these are the words of Jesus Christ, "God so loved the world," that means that if you are in this world, God loves you, "that he gave his only begotten Son," God gave up his only begotten Son, "to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for your sins. He shed innocent blood on the cross for your sins, because Jesus Christ never committed a sin in word, in thought, in attitude, or in deed." Yes, you can have a sinful attitude. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son up to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for our sins," however, our lies, our stealing, our lusting after people and things, coveting after people and things, what other people have, our disrespect and dishonor and disobedience and having bad attitudes towards our parents, our taking God's name in vain, and so many other sins. These are just five of the Ten Commandments. If we have broke one of them, we have broken the whole law according to the Bible. Jesus died for all of our wickedness and all of our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, that whosoever believeth in him, the word whosoever means anybody at any time, the word believeth means to trust in, to have faith in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish, that is, you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today so that you can be saved from the torments of hell. For the Bible teaches that once you die unsaved, if you die without believing in Christ, you will immediately wake up in the torments of hell. If you want to avoid that and wake up in heaven and in the arms of Jesus Christ, if you will, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ down here. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, there's that word again, whosoever, anybody at any time, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It's very simple to be saved, very easy to be saved, contrary to what people will tell you. You don't have to be in a church building to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to do anything to get saved but believe in Jesus Christ and call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. And he will do so, my beloved. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So believe in your heart. Only you can do that. That Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray with me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner. And I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have indeed committed some of those sins that were mentioned earlier by the preacher. And Holy Father God, I admit that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my crimes and sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day, and Lord, I do not understand it all, but I thank you for it all. And I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. And change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to truly repent of my sins past. And to truly repent of my sins present. and to turn from my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that I just shared with you, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10 verse 9, and this is what the book title is based on. I am the door, Jesus Christ said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.